Hi, I'm Susan Moore, Community Engagement Manager with IIBA.
And I'm Scott Bennett, Manager of Business Analysis with the International Institute of Business Analysis.
And this is Business Analysis Live.
Today we're going to be talking about curiosity, the power of curiosity, building lifelong learning into your career.
You know, this came out of our own curiosity about curiosity, Scott. So I'm really excited about this. You know, you and I often talk to leaders in our profession who talk about curiosity as being a really important trait or skill that makes a business analysis professional really good. So I'm excited that we're going to dive into that. And we have some really fantastic guests here who are going to talk with us about that today.
That's right. We've got Tina and Adrian who have joined us today. Why don't you both introduce yourselves so that our audience can understand your background if they haven't heard of you before. You want to go ahead, Tina?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us both. I'm Christina Lovelock. I'm a BA author, leader and coach. And I've been working as a business analyst for nearly 20 years at different levels, particularly within the public sector.
And I'm Adrian Reed, a principal consultant at Blackmetric, but really just a business analyst. I've been a business analyst for a similar length of time to Tina recently, and I'm just really enthusiastic about business analysis and the value it can bring.
Well, thank you both for joining us. We were talking earlier about curiosity leads us to discover different things. And I hope our audience today really enjoys this discovery that we're going to be going through and talking about the importance of curiosity.
I'm certainly excited to have both Adrian and Tina, because I know that they say, well, we're just business analysis professionals, but also they are in many ways, you know, they are thought leaders in our profession. So we're really so excited to have you guys here today. Let's dive in. What is curiosity? Let's go for the hard question first. I don't know. Adrian, what do you think when you think about curiosity?
Thanks, Susan. And thanks for having me here. I think that it's such a good question. I think it's one of those terms that means different things to different people. For me, I think curiosity is an innate, almost human ability to ask questions about the environment that someone is in. And ultimately, when you think about it, curiosity is one of the enablers for learning. Because if you don't ask or find out, if you take things for granted, then you never really learn about what's happening around you. And that's true for probably everyone who's ever, set foot on the planet. But it's also particularly relevant in a business context, because it's really easy to make assumptions about the way things work, the way things have always been done, right? You know, we will have all heard that as BAs, that it's always been done that way, that kind of thing. And it's the curiosity and the continual commitment to curiosity that helps us discover stuff and discover new things as well. So that's how I would describe it for me.
Tina, how about you? How do you think about curiosity?
Curiosity in business analysis, about being interested. So I've worked a lot with business analysts, I've worked a lot with architects, and I've noticed the questions that they asked. Architects often ask a what if question, which is a great question. It's about thinking about the future. How can we do things differently? Business analysts often come from a different angle, which is, I wonder why. And that's sometimes a bit backwards looking rather than future focused, but it's about trying to understand how we've got to this position, either as a business or how somebody's come to that conclusion or come to a judgment, or how a process has ended up, how it's ended up. So it's thinking, it's staying curious just a little bit longer. It avoids us jumping to solutions. It avoids us being judgmental about the people and the processes that we interact with. So curiosity is so important, that staying interested and avoiding judgment.
It's a great way to describe it. When I think of curiosity, I think of being a child. I've got a couple of children that are now grown. And, you know, when children are young, they're always asking questions. You know, why is the sky blue? why is this? Why is that? They're so curious by nature. But when I reflect on that, it really is a significant time in their lives where they're learning so much. So that curiosity, as we sort of described, can take you to different areas that you might not think about. But that's really what curiosity is about. And I think when we talk about the business analysis profession, it really is one of those key skills, because a lot of our jobs are to learn things. We're meeting new stakeholders, learning how things work, how they don't work. Curiosity, I think, is one of those key traits.
It's really interesting, Scott, just because what you said really resonated with me. And springboarding from that, I was thinking that, like, that why is the sky blue question, right? There are also different ways of answering that to different levels of precision, I would imagine. I mean, I'm not a physicist, but I would imagine there are. And actually, that's relevant for us as BAs as well, because sometimes you just need a broad, approximate answer and you don't need to go further yet. But you need to know that there's more there. So perhaps it's about an element of curiosity, but knowing when you know enough for the moment. Right. So like that just enough right. element. You don't need to be an expert in everything type of thing.
Yeah. You know, as Scott, as you were talking, I wrote down getting comfortable with the unknown. I think part of curiosity is you have to imagine and you have to be creative in order to first what is the question, and then be uncomfortable that you don't know that answer, but not letting that stop you from exploring and learning and maybe even failing. So I feel like in this idea of curiosity, there's really a whole lot about resiliency and creativity as well that can drive us. Yeah,
sure.
The age old question, how much subject matter expertise do you need as a BA? Because I think that when BAs have too much subject matter knowledge, it stops us asking the questions, it stops us being curious, because we make assumptions and we think we know. So actually, there comes a point where you can have too much subject matter knowledge as a business analyst, and because it means that we lose some of that curiosity. We jump to those assumptions and we don't ask the questions when we should.
I think, Tina, is that what they call in ethnography, like going native, where you're so close to the population you're living with
you can no longer
observe it as someone outsiding would observe it? And actually, that is quite an important point. Like, you need to have enough of a connection to be able to not take things for granted, because otherwise you get that tacit, well, it's always that way. And it's human nature, isn't it?
And our stakeholders really want to hold on to that person who's got that subject matter knowledge, because that seems really valuable to them. And they don't realise that a new BA who's come from a different area or even a different organisation could bring something, new perspective, objectivity, that ability to challenge, which is so valuable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One thing I've noticed over the years of managing different BAs is they all seem to have curiosity and that interest in learning. Have you guys seen that as well with the people you work with through your career?
Not all of them. I think good BAs are really interested in learning and keeping their skills up to date and acknowledging that it's such a wide skill set and tool set that we've got available to us as BAs, and that it's not okay to just stick with the same tools. You know, I just always run workshops and then I always write user stories. It's like, that's really lazy, and there's so much more you could be doing for your stakeholders. So the best BAs learn about a new technique and they're not afraid to give it a go and to say to their stakeholders, I've learned about this thing and I'm really enthusiastic about it. I haven't used it before. I don't know if it's going to work, but let's try it. And those are the people that I find are the best BAs.
I 100% agree with everything Tina's just said, which is unsurprising. But I would springboard from that saying that it really is one of those things that I think is a career enhancer, particularly when I think, and it's something I've learned, where curiosity has no bounds in terms of job role, right? So, for example, I've been to, you know, I like reading all sorts of things, and I've, you know, you can read about script writing and storytelling, which sounds, well, what relevance has that got to business analysis? But do you know what? If you want to actually get people behind an initiative, being able to tell a story and knowing the mechanics of how a story works are really important. Now, nobody, or it's unlikely that someone on a business analysis, you know, fundamentals course is going to say, and this is the script writing element, and this is how you, you know, but actually, you know, if you're curious, you go out there and look for stuff in adjacent disciplines. And for me, personally, one of the really exciting areas is where different disciplines overlap, and when there's areas for collaboration. So, you know, you look at product management and business analysis, or user experience and business analysis, or whatever you know floats your boat. I think that's a real area where people can differentiate themselves and bring new stuff into our community and get our stuff into different communities, so that, you know, there's more advocates out there too.
Adrian, I went to school to be a film director, so I feel you have no idea how many times over my career people have said, what does filmmaking have to do with business analysis or IT? And I tell them, lots. If you think about at the core what filmmaking is, somebody has an idea, and then you get a bunch of people together, technicians and artists, and you work through this idea, you flesh it out, you make it real, and you present it to the world, and you hope it goes well. And that's pretty much every software project I've ever worked on. And many of the tools that you use as a film director or anybody putting together films, they are storyboards. They are, how do you engage people? How do you learn? It's really the same intellectual skill set to make a movie or make software or solve hard problems in organizations. So I like that idea, by the way, of bringing in other disciplines into the work of business analysis. I often say that business analysts are professional learners, and it's a muscle that you have to work out. So don't just learn about business analysis techniques, but go out and learn something about gardening, learn something about woodworking like Scott does, you know, because what you will naturally find is that there are some nuggets of things that you can take from those other disciplines and bring into your work.
I really agree. And actually, it is. I was just making sure a book was behind me. So like a book I've read and listened to time and time again is a book called The Accidental Salesperson by Chris Lytle. Okay. And you would think, well, what on earth has a salesperson got to do with business analysis? But think about what a good salesperson does. They establish need, right? They understand the pain point. They then work out the constraints that the client is working with, like budget or whatever, and they propose some form of solution. And a lot of that is really converting needs into requirements and understanding the strategic element. And like one thing I took away from that book is that he talks about like a different levels of sales. So someone might come to you and say, I just want to buy 10x. But what you want to do is get to the why, right? You want to go from a level one to a level two conversation, and then a level three. And this reminds me of the idea of being a BA wanting to be a trusted advisor, not a resource, right? With that person, I'm having a level one conversation. They just want a BA for a project. What do I need to do to get them to a level two and level three conversation? And that came from a book about sales, right? Which is nothing to do with business analysis.
Yeah, that's a great point. So let's dig a little bit deeper into curiosity. Tina, can we improve our curiosity?
I definitely think we can. I think when we talk about curiosity as a trait, it makes people think that you're either born with it or you're not, and you just kind of have to live with it. But I think most things that we consider to be traits are actually skills. And curiosity is a skill. We can teach ourselves to be more interested in things. We can suspend our judgment and avoid jumping to conclusions quite so readily by just asking, I wonder why. Well, I wonder why the process is like that. I wonder why this person's telling me that, rather than thinking, this process is such a mess. I can't believe it's like this. Why on earth are they doing that? Bringing curiosity in, even when we think we understand, just asking one more question, remaining interested, remaining curious for just a few moments longer, allows us to practice that idea of curiosity as a skill. And I think so many people forget to be curious. It's not that they're not able to, it's just that they forget. And I think it's often when we are pursuing a tight deadline, we think we've got to churn something out, or, you know, just get something off our desk quickly, we forget to be curious. It's not that we're not able to.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess going back to the analogy of being a child, it is something that's innate in all of us. But I like what you're suggesting. If we forget that we've got that skill, that ability. And I'm wondering sometimes, too, people might be intimidated to ask questions because it might reveal that they don't know something. So maybe that could be something that holds them back. But to your point earlier, Tina, going through and asking these questions can, I guess, peel back the layers of the assumptions that are being made and some of the it's not broken, don't fix it type of thing.
I think people definitely worry about asking questions, taking up too much time with asking questions they think everyone else knows the answer to. Mostly they don't. And, you know, even something as simple as acronyms that are in common use within an organization. The number of times I've asked to someone, can you just clarify that acronym for me? And they've been using, and they've said, actually, I don't know. I'm going to have to go and look it up. So, you know, I think never feel silly asking the question that you want to ask.
I 100% agree. And I think there's that old expression, isn't there, which I think we need to like cast away, which is it's better to be silent than to open your mouth and be thought a fool. Or there's some expression along those lines. Right. But then, of course, I'm a huge Star Wars fan as well, as everyone should be. but then I think of, you know, well, who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows? Right. So actually, there's that element of, OK, yeah, everyone's staying silent. We're all following each other. And there's a big iceberg. You know, who's going to actually step up and ask the curious question, which is, do we all really want to plow into that iceberg? No. Well, why doesn't one of us, you know, grab the steering wheel? But I do think the point that's being made is such an important one. And one thing I observed from very early on in my career is there are corporate cultures that actually dissuade curiosity. They actually dissuade it because there's a whole structure, a whole power structure, which is built on preserving the status quo. And anyone who comes to question that, and it tends to be, in my experience, I can only speak from a personal experience, it tends to be perhaps the newer people and sometimes the younger people. And you sometimes get a bit of a narrative of, oh, you're young and naive, don't worry, when you've learned as long as I have. And I actually look at that and think that's a really dangerous statement, because I've worked with young people who on paper have very little experience, who I would give far, far more demanding roles to than people who have perhaps been doing the role longer, but are just turning the handle and churning the wheel. There's a balance, right? It's about experience and attitude and so on. But I think there's that culture element. So I think there are situations where it's really hard, but that's a reason, that's almost more of a reason for us to step up and ask the questions, and sometimes unfortunately feel the consequences of doing so.
You know, I'm taken, Adrian, by this thought of perhaps there are barriers to curiosity. So you've described some organizational barriers to curiosity, like culture. And I also think, obviously, Tina, there's personal barriers to curiosity. So I think there's an element of bravery that you have to have. You have to be brave to say, I'm going to ask the question that I think everyone knows the answer to, but hear me out for a second. There's also a level of honesty, and that can, I think, be both an organizational and a personal barrier. So I almost wonder if some of the ways that you can't improve curiosity is to address some of those barriers organizationally or personally around that are just limiting you from having the level of curiosity that you want to have.
And maybe perhaps those of us that are later in our careers, we can use our experience to mentor others to be able to embrace feeling comfortable asking questions, being curious, working through that. And there's actually an exciting piece of work that Tina and Adrian have been doing. And part of our discussion here is to bring people into that discussion around the BA School Day. So tell us about this initiative that the two of you have started.
So Adrian and I got together last year and talked about how our skills and experience and knowledge that we've gained from being BAs could how we could give back to the community and which elements of the BA community were most underserved. And what we identified was the fact that so many people say that they've just fallen into business analysis, that they didn't know about it at school or when they were taking options around what to study. And we thought, well, that's a problem that needs some attention. And the attention that we decided to give it was to try to encourage professionals, BA professionals, to go into schools, colleges and universities and share something about their career path and the role that they're currently doing, so that nobody has to just stumble across business analysis, that we are telling the next generation of BAs about business analysis while it's still relevant for them to make options for their career, because that's not something that most of us experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the plan is to get people to make a pledge to go into a school or college or, you know, whatever is relevant in the part of the world that you happen to be in. And it has become a global initiative very, very quickly, which is fantastic. We've got people pledged from every continent except Antarctica, I think. So if you happen to be in Antarctica, that would be fantastic. That seems unlikely. But the plan is around, of course, Global BA Day in November, which is always a fantastic landmark for BAs to celebrate. But around that time, you know, that week, go into a school, give a session. That could be a presentation. It could be, you know, an interactive workshop or whatever, and let people know what business analysis is. Show them the value of curiosity in their careers and show them how fun and how connected a community we are as BAs. And, you know, hopefully the plan is that will inspire some people to perhaps consider business analysis as their career.
So what you just described there has the gears turning in my head. I've got a whole bunch of questions now. I'm curious. We talked a little bit about you guys had put up an MVP website. There's some information there that people can go to learn more about this. Why don't we review that a little bit and give people a little more flavor as to what we've got here?
Yeah, so essentially, there's just a few pages on there at the moment. It will grow as time goes, but you can see we've got the website. There's a little bit of information you can click through. There's the idea in 3 minutes, so literally, and I think we did this in one take, Tina, I believe. We did that in one take, so that was MVP. We've embedded a zoomable map where you can see who's pledged, so you can see we've got pretty global, but, you know, do go on there, and if there's an area not represented and you know someone there, you know, go in and see if they can. You've got a countdown. And then essentially there's the, you know, you can find out more about why it's important, how you get involved. And we're building up some resources. So the idea is that, like, you know, we realize that people might have never contacted a school before to, you know, to suggest a session like this. So we've got, at the moment, we've got, a suggested letter, a suggested email, a social media tile. So when you're involved, when you make the pledge, you can put your own photo on that. It's a PowerPoint. And then you can share that and gloat on social media. So you get some kudos there, and some potential, event types. Now, this will grow over time. And another thing people can do to contribute is, if you've got some content, let us know. We can put it on here. There are some frequently asked questions. But then what we really want people to do is say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do this. I am going to pledge to do this. And all you do is you fill in the form with who you are, where you are, and optionally your email address. If it's great if you can put your email address in, because what we'll then do is just send you like a reminder, probably a monthly newsletter and a reminder. And then, get out and do it. But also, if you're a head of practice, why not encourage your team to do this? You know, it's an opportunity for you to build kudos amongst your team, maybe even give them some, perhaps a little bit of paid leave to go into a school and do it, because, you're going to get that investment back 10 times or 100 times. So,
yeah, for sure. And what time do you anticipate this would take someone? So what time commitment should they set aside to do an activity like this?
So the actual going into school is probably going to take 30 minutes to an hour, and then preparation time is really down to you, how much you know that you like to prepare for things. And we're trying to cater for a whole spectrum here. So we're trying to create a kind of off-the-shelf presentation, which we're calling a on-stage interview, where it asks you questions. So how did you get into business analysis? What was your first job? What do you like about your job? That kind of thing. And you essentially go through the PowerPoint and you interview yourself on the stage, or if you're feeling brave, you might get the children to ask you the questions. So that's a kind of minimum preparation option. But then we know there'll be people who really brought their own creativity, who are thinking about how they want to tailor it. They want to include pictures and slides to tell their own story and to engage with people in other ways as well. So doing events in classrooms, so something where there's kind of a bit more of a hands-on or practical element for children to get involved in. And so it really depends how much time you've got. There is an option for you to get involved however much time you've got available for this initiative.
That's And so just to springboard from what Tina is saying there, that if there's a particular reason why, like, that week isn't good for you or whatever, but you still want to support, you know what? Just mentioning it on social media, that is an action that anyone can take that just helps to spread the word. Or like mentioning it in your if you've got like a team SharePoint site or something like that. So even if there's a reason you can't directly contribute to Pledge, just helping us spread the word is hugely, hugely, you know, beneficial, and we're very, very grateful for that.
I see this program is really doing two things. First, it's tapping into children's natural sense of curiosity. I mean, I think that if you are speaking to a class, there's an opportunity for you to let the class, you know, guide you on where they want to know, which I think could be really fun. But the other thing that I wrote down was, what if we had a generation of people who actually understood what business analysis was? And it started from this BA School Day initiative, where we had young people that said, oh, I learned about this when I was, you know, 10 years old, and I've been thinking about it and incorporating it into the work that I do. I mean, I can tell you, I learned to program when I was 10 years old. We had a little, you know, computer that was in a utility closet that we learned. And that interaction changed the course of my career. I probably never would have gone into anything with software development but for that interaction at 10 years old. So I think it's really powerful. And if we're thinking that there is just some time that we're giving away, I want you to think about the lives that you will change in ways that you may not imagine. But because when you open your hands to give, you open your hands to receive. So that volunteering goes both ways.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic initiative. And thank you both for your leadership on this. The thought that you put into this to think about how could we engage people, but then taking that thought and executing on it, putting it on an MVP website and reaching out to people. I applaud both of you on this. I think this is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, and thank you for helping us get the word out there. That is really, really appreciated too.
And we have been so impressed by the response by the global BA community. People have really come out to help us and to champion this. It's almost as though people were waiting for this. And in fact, a lot of people have said, I've really wanted to get into schools, but just not known how to do it. And we're kind of giving a global permission for everybody to get involved because they're part of something bigger. It's not just you kind of making a random approach to a school. It's you're part of something bigger here. And this scales really quickly because if each person who goes into school speaks to a class of 30 or an assembly of 100 children, then we're reaching thousands of children really quickly.
Yeah, I've been amazed. I feel like every day on LinkedIn, I'm seeing somebody else who is putting the picture out there that you've created. So it's really encouraging. And you know, I have found that within the business analysis community, I mean, I know that we are very busy people, but it is remarkable to me when we ask our business analysis professionals to give up some of their time to do some volunteering, how much they are ready to go. So I think there is something also, you know, we've talked about curiosity as being an innate skill for good business analysis professionals. And I think that ability to give of ourselves, to be helpers, I think that's also something else that I see in a lot of business analysis professionals.
Yeah, for sure.
know, that collaborative nature of business analysts. I've interviewed for job interviews a lot of business analysts over the years, and one thing they all, the trap they all fall into is that they say we. They talk about what the project achieved, what the team achieved. It's really difficult to get people to identify their own contribution because we do see it as such a collaboration.
That's a very good point. I've seen that as well. I think part of it is being humble as well. Some people have that humble attitude, so they talk about the team versus what I did as an individual. Sorry, go ahead, Adrian.
I agree. And I think it's also that element of, you know, there is a, you know, a global community, right? And of which, you know, IIBA is a custodian of a lens on that community. And I think it's so important, right? Because, you know, we're all talking here now because, and it's interesting, right? Because I know there's an idea of a, like a community of practice within an organization. But another way of viewing this is we are all actually part of, if we want to be, a global community of practice, because I don't work in the same organization as Tina, but I can pick up the phone to Tina and say, I really need some advice here. And, you know, and the same, you know, like Scott and Susan, we're all in a global, you know, we're all in it. Kind of, there's always a sort of feeling of we're all in it together. And I think the, right, the really good BAs I've worked with are those that opt into, because you have to opt in, right? You have to get out there and put yourself out there. But I think that's a real differentiator, is being part of that self-selecting global community of people who really care, not just about their job, but about the community.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
I see so that as an extension of curiosity, by the way.
Yeah.
Is opting into that community, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, a great way to wrap things up. So thank you, Adrian and Tina, for talking about this initiative. I think it's fantastic. For those of you who are viewing, go to baschool.day, and you can reach that website. You can get involved and really be a part of this important initiative. So thank you both for joining us today.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
We're so happy to have you guys today. Thank you so much. And that is it for today's Business Analysis Live. I hope that you've been curious. I hope that you will flex that curiosity muscle as a result of this. It's been great seeing you. We'll talk to you soon. This is the end of our live session, but if you've got questions, you can send us an email at live@iiba.org or leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question at one of our upcoming broadcasts. Join us.